Welcome, friends, to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And listen, friend, if He isn't your Savior, He can be. If He isn't, He wants to be. If He isn't, He came to be, for Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you began this day in the lost category, I'm glad to tell you, thank God, by the grace of God, in light of who Jesus is, in light of what Jesus has done, and even still is doing, you can change that. You can change, friend. You can change your position, your destiny, your eternity by putting your trust and faith in Christ Jesus. Well, Debbie and I are humbled and excited about the fact that you've tuned in to listen and just share with us in this little radio ministry. I'm excited about the message God has laid on my heart. And Debbie's always excited about the song that God has given to her that she's going to share with us today. Goes right along with the message the Lord has laid on my mind and my heart to share with you, or to preach to you, to declare to you out of the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. And if you can and you want to read that passage of Scripture, as soon as Debbie does her song, the title of it is, the title of the song that she's going to use, one of my favorite, by the way, one of my favorite. It's on a project titled, Oh, What an Honor. And, well, I'm telling you, that's a great song. It's really one of the favorite of many, many people that listen to her music. But I've got one today that I like very much. The title of it is, Saved by His Grace. And, friend, I want you to know there's no other way but that to be saved by. When she gets done, I'll meet you in the book of 1 Timothy 1:15 for the message.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I'd believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness, no longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free. His grace, 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 that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. I have been saved by faith. I am saved. I'm saved by His grace. Saved by His grace.
Wasn't that good, friend? I told you it'd be good. I told you you'd like it. And I want you to know the only way that you or I can be saved is by the grace of God. That's what the Word of God tells us repetitively. It tells us clearly. It tells us, friend, without hesitation, without reservation, without apology. Listen, sir, ma'am, you can go to heaven if you choose to, if you trust Christ as your Savior. In the book of 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, the Word of God says this. This is, Paul said, a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now look what he said there in the latter part of that verse. He said, Christ Jesus came to this world, into the world, to save sinners. I want to talk to you today for just a little while. Well, let me give you my text after I ask you a question or two. Let me do it that way. If I would ask you something today, if I would ask you what you thought the greatest thing Jesus did when he came into this world, what would you say? I mean, what would you say was the greatest thing Jesus did when he walked on the footstool that he created, we call planet Earth? The greatest thing he did, preacher, was heal the sick, open the eyes of the blind. Well, that's pretty cool. That's pretty good, is it not? I mean, that's one of the messianic signs, opening the eyes of the blind, that Jesus himself referred to and Isaiah prophesied of. Or maybe you'd say, well, it's because he raised the dead. My, we've got three accounts of him raising dead people, the little girl, the widow's son of Nain, and man to the name of Lazarus in the book of John chapter 11. That's pretty neat, is it not? Reviving somebody that had died, pulled them out of the other side and brought them into this life again. That's a pretty great miracle, isn't it? But maybe something else. Maybe somebody said, well, it's some miracle that he performed. He performed so many, preacher. We've got a record of 35, and yet the Bible doesn't tell us all that Jesus did. It just tells us all we know that Jesus did so that we can love him, so we can trust him, put our faith in him, and serve him. Maybe somebody would say, well, the reason he came was to reveal the Father. Boy, that's a great reason. Jesus told who was it? Philip said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's great. No man can come to the Father but by me, he said. That's pretty tremendous, is it not? Hey, you said, well, preacher came to fulfill the Scripture, and he did that. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. But look, friend, that's not the greatest reason. All those things I believe are good. All those things are true. But I do not believe, friend, that's the greatest mission. I don't think the supreme mission of Jesus was that. But I believe the supreme mission of the Master was to seek and to save that which is lost. See, he came, friend, if you will, to save, to provide a means of salvation, a means of deliverance from sin, from its bondage, its power. And by the grace of God, one of these days, its presence. I believe the greatest, the most supreme mission of the Master, friend, was to provide a full and complete deliverance from sin, its power, its penalty. And as I just said, one day, its presence. Oh, thank God for that. Thank God. That's what he said, and I'll get this again, no doubt. In the message somewhere, you know the text verse for this radio ministry. If you've been listening to Inspirational Truth any time at all, it's Luke 19 and 10. Hey, do you know what? In that one verse, it's great, and yet it's simple. It's so simple, it is sublime. Do you know that the number of words in that verse? There are 16 words. All of them are single syllable words. And all I'll tell you, it gives the mission, the supreme mission of the Master. And he said this, Jesus did, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save which is lost. I've preached that text before. I've preached that passage before. I've looked at it, tried to dissect it. Now listen, friend, the Son of God, the Almighty Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, entered this world to be a Savior. He came to seek lost mankind out. We don't seek for Him. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, man has been running the wrong way. And it was Jesus that came into this world not to seek sinners, to find them out and to bring salvation to them and for them. Well, I want you to know, friend, our text verse clearly declares the truth about why he came. He came to save sinners like me. He came to save sinners like you. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came into the world. Again, our text verse says, to save sinners. Isn't that amazing? Now look, the problem isn't with Jesus in saving. The problem is in getting people to realize that they're sinners so they'll be saved. That's what the problem is. We're in a day and an hour, living in a day and an hour when people don't think sin is sin. Do you realize that? I mean, we've watered it down. We've changed definitions. We've tried to color it up. We've tried to lighten it up. And I want you to know something. According to God Almighty, sin's still sin. It was sin that separated in the beginning. It's sin that separates today. And it will be sin, friend, your sin, if you continue in it. If you don't ask Jesus to become your Savior, if it's not washed away by the blood of the Lamb, listen, it'll be your sins that will take you into eternity, where you'll be eternally separated from Almighty God. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, the Bible said, Romans 3:23, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says this, in light of verse 23, now think about it, we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Now Jesus died potentially for all mankind. He died for my sin, your sin, and sin of all the world. But I want you to know it doesn't become real to the sinner. It doesn't become real to the individual. It may have a potential to save the world, and it does, but it doesn't become actual until lost sinners realize they're lost, and by faith they receive Christ as their Savior. Look at what He said in the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 12. Paul said this in preaching, and boy, I'll tell you, not Paul, but Peter, excuse me. He said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And by the way, if you don't know who Peter was talking about, he was talking about Jesus. He was talking about how that lame man that they found, he and John, on the way to the temple one day, soon after Pentecost, was laying begging alms of them. And Peter looked, and John looked, and said, listen, buddy, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. You know what? Peter looked at him in essence and said, I don't have what you want, but bless God, I've got what you need. And listen, sir, listen, ma'am, I'm going to say this as easy and yet as directly and boldly as I can. If you're lost and undone, if you're just a church member, if you've just been baptized, or you think that you could live good enough to get to heaven, listen, you need to be saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, friend, you need to come and know what the supreme mission of the Master is. How wonderful. Do you know what Matthew 1:21 tells us? Matthew 1:21 says, this is Gabriel speaking to Joseph. Look, after he began to tell him what was happening to his wife Mary, who happened to be a virgin, who happened at that time to be a spouse to Joseph, who happened at that time to be pregnant by the overshadowing power of the Most High God, by the power of the Holy Spirit that implanted a holy thing in her womb. Do you know what Joseph was trying to figure out? What he would do with Mary, his espoused wife, who was great with child. Gabriel came to him and said, listen, Joseph, this is the fulfillment of prophecy. This is God at work. And that holy thing that's going to be born from your virgin wife's womb, he's going to be called the Son of the Most High. He's going to be a holy thing. And listen to what Matthew 1:21 says. I'm about to get happy right now. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save them from their sin. Listen, this name, this saving name of Jesus, God's only begotten Son, Mary's virgin born Son, was prepared for Him. Listen now, before He came into this world. I'm telling you, that matchless name, it promises deliverance. It promises deliverance from sin of all sort. It promises deliverance from the guilt of sin and even the government of sin. And oh, thank God, someday soon, I believe, and very soon, He's going to deliver us from the presence of sin. So let me ask you, And they ask you what I've already asked. What do you think the supreme mission of Jesus is? Oh, I know that He did many mighty wonderful works. I know He taught and spoke like never a man taught and spoke. He didn't teach like the scribes and the Pharisees, but He taught with authority. I mean to tell you, I love that song. In the garden, you remember, says He speaks with such a voice that when He speaks, the birds stop their singing. But I want you to know, friend, according to the Word of God, the supreme mission of the Master was to seek and to save that which is lost. Listen, let it be known far and wide. Let it be known far and wide that the Bible is the only book that teaches this great truth about the only provision and remedy for sin known to man. And I'm telling you, friend, listen, I don't care what religion says. I don't care what academia says. I don't care what the political correct world says. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And that is at the name of Jesus. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's not yin and yang. It's not this or that. But it's the name of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that mankind can be saved from sin's power, penalty, and presence. Do you know there's a greatness to this salvation? Hebrews chapter 2 and 3. And this is used in a lot of ways. I'm going to take it a little bit out of context. Asked this thing and said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Do you ever wonder why salvation is so great? Listen, it's great because of the fact it was God's greatest manifestation of power known to man. Isn't that amazing? Oh, you say, preacher, what about His creation? Well, that was a mighty act, was it not? That was a mighty act. Even Psalm 19 says that the heavens were just simply a work of the finger work of Almighty God, a result of the handiwork, the finger work of God. It means almost in some degree, and don't take this wrong, it means almost that the heavens and all of their beauty, all of their order, and all of their glory. Listen, God didn't even have try when He put them in their place. When He put the stars and the moon and the planets to be lights for the night, it's as if God didn't even hardly try. But you remember what happened in the beginning? God said, and there was light. Hey, listen, friend. When God began in creation, it just cost Him His breath. But when God began to do something for salvation, it cost Him His blood. I want you to know something, that the greatest expression of the power, the manifestation of the power of Almighty God is when He allowed His Son to die for my sin and your sin and the sin of all the world. You remember what the book of Isaiah 53 and 1 says, the writer, Isaiah himself, in that great chapter on the humiliation of Jesus Christ, asked a question, made a statement, asked a question, who have believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know what that means when He talks about the arm of the Lord being revealed? Look, remember I told you that that the heavens were the resort of the handiwork of God? Hey, it's almost as if I told you God didn't even try too hard when He put the heavens in order and in their place. But when God provides... Oh, I'm about to get happy again. When God, friend, put His plan of salvation into place, He displayed His power. He rolled up His sleeve on His right arm. He bared His arm as He brought His Son to be a Savior into this sin, a cursed, Christ-rejecting world. Listen to what the Word of God says in Ephesians 1:19 and 20. And He said, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power. Paul was praying in this prayer that I stepped into, that the folks down at Ephesus might know, that their knowledge might increase. And he wanted them to know about the power of God being manifest. He goes on to say in verse 20, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. I'm telling you, friend, it's a great salvation that we have because of the greatness of God's power that was manifest to bring it to you and I. Listen, friend, salvation is great because it includes within it all the great redemption acts necessary to deliver lost mankind and sinners like me and you from sin's bondage. Everything from justification to glorification finally one day. And you know what else? The supreme mission of the Master was, friend, was to provide salvation that is divinely authored. Isn't it amazing? You know what? Do you know that salvation antedates creation? Did you know that? Listen to what he said in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11. I just looked up my time. I'll not get this preached. I have more to preach than I have sense and ability and especially time to preach. But he said in Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ our Lord. Do you know, friend, that salvation, this plan of salvation which demanded that the Lamb of God die on an old rugged cross where He would shed His blood for lost mankind like me and you, where He would be separated from God so that we never would be, where He would suffer our pain and our shame so that we might know His glory and His grace. Do you know that it was an eternal plan? Before God laid even the foundation of the world, do you know that plan of salvation was in place? You say, how do you know that, preacher? Listen to what he said in verse 4 of chapter 1 of Ephesians. He said, according as He hath chosen us in Him, get in the next world, before the foundation of the world, Titus tells us in chapter 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. And I've got more scripture than that to tell you. I just don't have time. Listen, friend, the supreme mission of the Master was to provide a salvation that was great. And it was great, a great salvation because of its author. Because also, friend, of the fact of the kind of salvation that it produced. It was also great because of its simplicity. You ever thought about that? The Bible said in John 1:11-12, He came in His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to as many as believe on Him. He said in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31, Philippian jailer asked Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? And you know what they said? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But can I tell you something? True salvation is accompanied by conviction. I want you to know that. Conviction. There must be a conviction. I believe the Word of God teaches before there can be a conversion. Listen to what the Word of God teaches. Listen to what the Word of God teaches us, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greek, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Man, listen, sir. Listen, ma'am. You'll never be saved until you realize you're lost. The greatest mission of Jesus Christ wasn't to heal. It wasn't to heal. A lot of people get mixed up on that. They even look over in the book of Isaiah 53 and they bring that verse of Scripture out of that great passage and say, with His stripes are we healed. Has nothing to do with physical healing. Some of y'all don't like that. You don't believe that. You've just taken a traditional stance on that. But you get in there and read that and see if it means that by His stripes all of our sicknesses were healed, why are we sick and in pain? But hey, there's nobody, hallelujah, that have come to Christ, sinners needing to be saved by grace, who wasn't saved fully and completely by Him. The greatest mission, the supreme mission of the Master, friend, listen. It's supreme because of the great cost that it had. It was the blood of Jesus. It was supreme because the fact it was universal. It means whosoever will, let him come. That means you, sir. That means you, ma'am. It's great because what Christ has done is doing. Do you know what? Nobody's ever saved by the life of Christ. He had to die. He had to die. Romans chapter 5 verse 10, don't have time to turn to it, said that we're saved by His death, but He said now that He's living, we're also saved by His life. Hey, He's alive and He's there at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me and for you. Always had more time today, but I don't. Listen, the supreme mission of the Master was to seek and to say that which is lost. He's looking for you if you're lost. He's after you. This message is after you. Holy Spirit is after you. The Word of God is after you. The song Debbie sang, it's after you. He's still seeking you through the agency of the Holy Spirit and the power of His Word. He's still saving by grace through faith all those who put their trust in Him. Will you do that today, sir? Will you do that today, ma'am? Will you put your trust and your faith in Christ Jesus? Will you do that right now? Will you call upon Him? Will you turn to Him? Will you say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? Will you say, "Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner"? And if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says clearly and definitely, thou shalt be saved. The Bible said in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. John 6:37, He's coming to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Him. Come to Him today.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. We're on the web at TomAndDeBbie@inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.